The first thing I want to talk about is this marvelous ensemble. Hear the sound that they made. And as Margaret said, the arranger is a very, very good arranger. Figured if that piece is good enough as a piece for string orchestra, by golly, it was good enough for clarinet group to do too, and I think to prove this point, it just sounds great. My piece, that's absolutely not true of in reverse. If it's suitable for clarinet choir, and you'll be the judge, and I have been told that I am asking a clarinet choir to do certain things that no one is really sure a clarinet choir can do, although there are tunes and rhythms and harmonies in it. No string orchestra could make any sense out of the piece you're about to hear. This wouldn't work. It's really designed for them. One distinction I want to tell you right away is, in the piece that you just heard, there are a lot of passages and lines that were played by at least two players playing the same notes, sometimes many, which is the same sound that you'll hear in a large concert band in the clarinet sections. It gives it part of its richness. One of the, I won't say mistakes I made, but one of the singular decisions I made in writing my piece was to treat everybody a little bit as a soloist and have their own individual line, build all the textures out of as many as 12 real parts. Which it makes it a lot scarier to play for each player because there's nobody for them to lean on in case they, you know, have to catch a breath or something. They're really there, but they've really stood up to that. The next thing I want to talk about is the collaborative process. Margaret has been marvelous in teaching me more than I actually realized there was to know about the clarinet. Just an astonishing amount of information I picked up. I wish I'd known some of it before I got my initial ideas. But we've worked together. She's coached me through some revisions. The group has been really, really patient with me. They've allowed me to get up and rave around on the podium for an hour telling them to do things with the piece and try to bring out what I want out of it. And they've been very brave, and they've really mastered it, I think. They've really dug in to play the piece. And the collaboration has been great. I want to mention that along the way, although this is not technically a commission, I got a grant from the Durfee Foundation, which helped me with the cost of engraving the parts, and that should be in the program. I neglected to ask them whether to print it, but that's, Durfee Foundation needs to have that appreciation for that help that made it possible. The other great thing was that we got to work on the first move in the fall and then repeat it, and then I made some revisions to try to tighten up certain things and take some, but not many, difficulties out and make it a little tighter, make it work better, and then we got to rehearse together on the middle movements. I want to say a couple things about each of the movements. If you know me, you know that a person doesn't like to be indoors. I'm one of the times I'm happiest is if I'm in the mountains. Outdoors, if I'm up in the pines, if I'm up in the mountains, and so on. And that leaks over into my music, although I don't always set out with the intention of both evoking outdoor things. A lot of the musical ideas and textures I create, I realize are being sort of triggered by my connection to nature. The piece I wrote for Los Angeles Flute Orchestra, which is the piece that Margaret heard that motivated her to ask me to write for this group, also is a nature piece. It has a movement about rain, a movement about fog, and a movement that actually depicts a sandstorm in the desert that gets so scary and shrieky and loud that I called it Sand Banshee. You're supposed to, at a certain point in that piece, kind of wonder if it's going to stop. This isn't that kind of piece. But the middle movement of this is also about wind. First movement is one of the only pieces I've ever written that tries to sort of depict something mechanical. So you'll hear changes of harmony that sound like you're clicking next slide sometimes. It just arbitrarily changes what mode it's in. The way it's as though it was a mechanical water fountain. It was programmed digitally and just keeps changing what's going on. Kind of like the lights at the Santa Monica Pier. They don't follow an organic pattern. I try to make a piece out of that. I try to evoke watery feelings, and I'm hoping you'll hear there are changes of color, but I can't imagine what colors you're actually seeing or imagining. The middle movement is another attempt on my part to evoke the wind in the middle. At the beginning, it's moonlight. And I don't know about you, but when I go and I see the full moon in the dark sky through pine trees, that light makes the blood sing in my ears. There's a sound I get. It's just, there's something about moonlight. I'm a little loony, I guess. I've tried to make a melody for that with some harmonies that are evocative of the sort of sadness that I sometimes feel seeing the moon. In the middle of that movement, I'm trying to bring the wind of the pines. I lay on the ground up above Grizzly Flats this weekend on Saturday after hiking for a couple, or no, on Monday after hiking for a couple hours in 93 heat and listen to the wind again and try to see what it was I was trying to capture. It's very hard to do, but this is an attempt in the middle. It's an emotional, the middle is very emotional, melodic. Then the last movement, plays again to my compulsion to pretend that I have Bulgarian or Middle Eastern, Middle European roots, which I don't. On the Jewish side, we're, you know, Semitic and originally from the Middle East. But for some reason, I get Bulgarian tunes sometimes in my head, and Bulgarian and I have a compulsion to sort of play them out. So it's just very dancey. It's a little tricky in the rhythms. And in the middle, it breaks down into a two-step, slow, kind of a klezmer dance, as though it's for a wedding. And at a certain point, I mark it, play as though drunk. There were some of them who were thinking maybe better if they just got drunk across the stage. I'm hoping they haven't done that. The way they played the Rispiki suggests that they did not. So I'm not sure that there's anybody that will like all three movements in this piece equally, but I'm hoping there'll be something for everybody. I hope you enjoy it.